Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your beloved brother, Malad Muhammad, live on your Blog Talk Radio. I'm coming to you at 7 p.m. on a Monday evening. It gives me great privilege, and surely I am highly honored to be able to do so. I really take pride, and I am very ecstatic to be able to come on the radio and try to say something to the right. What excites me and it motivates me to be able to exercise that which you read and study, and if you don't use it, you'll lose it. So to give it to you all who's out there listening to me, it gives me blessings. We call it barakats, because I don't have to do it. Anything, you don't have to do it with good intentions, you get 100 to 1. 10 for 1 multiplied by 10, that's 100 to 1. And those are the blessings that you can cash in on the day, on the final day of judgment, is your good deed. I remember a very distinguished gentleman was charged with some of the most made-up lies that one could put on an individual. And he was scheduled to do 20 years every count. He had 5 counts, 100 years. And from 1 to 10, the 4 counts was a 10. The 5th count, give it a 1. But nevertheless, for conspiracy, you can go to jail for 20 years. More important is that his lawyer did a magnificent job, but for some reason, they found him guilty on that 1 count that was least of their 5. But the most important thing that bothered me is that how they can give you these charges and make it stick. What they do is take you out of your comfort zone, people of your peers who's supposed to rule whether you're guilty or not guilty. And they move you down to a part of the state, New Jersey, I'm speaking about, where people do not know you. This is not against the law, but it's unethical. When it comes to the African Americans, you can do this all the time. Skipping a little bit, a young man got shot 38 times in the doorway, and they claimed that they thought he had a gun. And you had 5 officers that shot in that doorway. It was nothing but his wallet to prove his identification. But they moved the case away from the city in which it happened, in the city which people knew him, took it up in the hills where no one cared anything about him, and the officers got off, and surely the man is dead. That's what they do to us. But because we are not together, we have no unity economics when it comes to politics, and when it comes to when one is falsely charged, we don't have the whole community out in showing support in the unity. Nobody likes to fight a community, but they will fight an individual, meaning this is why most of our youth are in jail, because no representation. Lawyers are one thing. Community is large. when you got strength and you got power and you can come against them, because they are repercussions, where you shut down everything that makes money for them, and et cetera. And so when he was found guilty, the judge knew that there's no way that this man should have been found guilty. But she sits on the stand, and she have to address those prosecutors when he's gone, whether she sentence him or whether she don't sentence him. But I believe, I humbly believe, that she gave him what he thought he deserved, and that was the best she can do. But the point was, is that all his outstanding achievement, he was paid for that, and he accepted, whether it was $20,000, $50,000, or six figures. Your outstanding achievement is what we pay you to do. And surely he was in the six figures. But that didn't count, his outstanding achievement. So she says she stayed up all night trying to figure how could she help this innocent man without losing her major credibility. Because she could have overruled and said, I am team juror, she's the 15th. There's 10 jurors, she's the 11th. If it's 9, she's the 10th. She had that right to overrule. So what she said is she stayed up all night trying to find out what could I do for this individual. And she found it. It's called charity. When she broke down what he did for youth and what he did for people that needed another chance, and how he raised them and sent them to school and dressed them up, even put teeth in their mouth, one man said. She said, now I can be lenient. So those 20 years she could have gave him, it would have been better than 20. She could have gave him 10. It's better than 15. She just gave him 5. It was better than that 10. But his outstanding achievement in charity, she gave him 1 year and 1 day. The prosecutor was angry. They didn't like this person. 1 year and 1 day. Now, nobody wants to do 1 day when they're not guilty. But it sure is better than 100 years. It sure is better than 1 day. Nobody wants to be there 1 day. But he had to go for 1 year and 1 day. Now, if in fact in this world that is so corrupt can respect your charity, your zakat, as we say, in this world, what do you think God's going to give you on the final day of judgment? And you wonder why that I will come on for an hour or two, when I believe tonight is 1 hour, on Monday and come back on Tuesday. And it looked like I got to do Friday. That's another story. And I do Saturday. And I'll do any day if someone cannot present on their time. Why? Barakats. Blessing. Cash in. This broadcast is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC. Mirage Speaks. We come to you 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year, and we are proud in doing so. We've been on the air for over a year. We went viral. That's Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Adamin. I want to speak about tonight, about Adam. I think I need to touch that situation because we all misconstrue our father, Adam. And I believe my Christians are ready for the reality of who Adam is, because we read the way man put scripture. And we don't fault them for that, because it gives you a picture. Everything is a picture. You look at your wife. Oh, she got beautiful hair, beautiful eyes, lovely skin, the way you want her to be built, that's the physical. And you fall in love with that. Mind, do you fall in love with that? But that's just the physical. The reality of that female, you cannot see it. If she's no good internally, if she got a diseased heart, or she has a diabolical mind, you're not going to get along. That marriage is not going to last. That's what God is saying to you. What you say out of your mouth is words. Your actions and your deeds is what gets you in heaven. It has nothing to do with how tall or how short, how good looking or how ugly, how intelligent or how unintelligent. Whether you have money, whether you broke, has nothing to do with how you will make it to Jannah, which means paradise. So the physical, you have to get out of your mind. You can't see your father Adam, but Adam is your father. So we like to talk about Adam, the person, the man that Allah created. He's our type. Greetings is peace be unto you. We say in El Islam, we say El Islam, not Islam. You will not find Islam in the Holy Quran. So we say El Islam. We say in our religion, a language, Assalamu alaikum. Thank Allah, God, for all our life, our will being, our well-being. My presence today or tonight, and my health. And we pray that he always is there for us and guide us and grant us mercy. We salute all of the servants of God, from Adam to Muhammad. We give the last prophet, Muhammad, the traditional salute, salutation, and prayers and peace be upon the prophet and his descendants and his companions. Surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. We like to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, name the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. This allows Allah to guide your tongue and allow you to be able to say things to the right that can help a great deal of people. I ask Allah to guide my tongue, and I ask him to take my feelings out of what I'm willing to present tonight. And I try to stick to what Allah wants from us. All the people are equal in their nature. We don't understand that because we don't teach it, so we don't understand it. But all the people are equal in their nature, according to Revelation, before Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. The same was given to the prophets. But because Allah gave it to all of his prophets, that we all are equal. Muhammad, the prophet for over 40 centuries or more, was blessed and to be able to put it all in proper perspective. so we all can understand that all the prophets was consistent. Yes, they was very consistent in what they was teaching. And we in El-Islam do not put one prophet over another prophet. But the difference is we have the understanding that they all are human beings. And because they all are human beings, they bleed, they get sick, they will fall, they will commit a sin, but they will beg Allah for forgiveness. Oh, you think the prophets didn't sin before they learned how to understand what God wanted out of them? We all sin. Even Adam sinned, our father. His first response was repent and beg Allah for forgiveness. That teaches us that we all should repent. We should not just make that mistake and then say, oh, what the world, what I care. No, you have to care. Because if you understand the final day of judgment, you would not say that. But because you can't see it, you have to believe in it. You think that that only means that because you can't see it, you will do things that you're not supposed to do. Don't you know God sees everything? Oh, you say it, but you don't believe in it. Because if, in fact, you believe in it, you wouldn't do the things you would do. We have a tendency of mistreating our children. We have a tendency of mistreating our parents. We have a tendency of mistreating our siblings. Yes, we have a tendency of mistreating our... All this will come back. You know, there is a group of people with an understanding they call karma, and they say it comes back. Now, if in fact they believe that they should treat people the way they want to be treated, they call it anything they want to call it. They will be rewarded to understand that what you do to someone else will come back at you. You know how you point your finger? When you point your finger, that thumb is pointing at you. It's like a boomerang. You throw it out to hurt someone, but it comes back and hits you. All these things are good. They are physical to teach you that what goes around comes around. But more important, you should understand, as I open up, that we trying to make it to the hereafter. Well, you have to earn that. God said that to us, that we have to earn it. How do you earn it? Good deeds. Not the deed that I took care of my baby. And Allah give you a beautiful baby. It didn't have to come here. Oh, I know you take care of your wife. But didn't he give you a good wife? Because you wouldn't take care of her if she wasn't good. You would go one way and she would go another. So what is it? All that you don't have to do. When you see someone ill, you want to help them. You're not the doctor, but you will go and find out what can make them better. That's love. Those are the kind of love you must have. You have to have. That's the kind of love that you want for yourself. So why not give it to someone else? You say you want a bigger home than what you have. There's people outdoors. Are you trying to help them? No, you're too much into yourself. There's people that's walking, don't have a car. You rather ride 2-3 cars. Very expensive, luxury cars. But you care nothing about your siblings, nothing about your cousin or your friend or your neighbor. All that's written down. You got two angels, one on the right, one on the left. The one on the left writes all that down. All that will come back at you in the day of judgment. Now you say, oh my God, I didn't see that. I didn't understand that. Okay, you just came into new knowledge. You should now be able to try to do the right thing. That's what God is saying, that you're supposed to make mistakes, that you're supposed to get up and keep going, and you'll fall towards the right direction, short distance to get there. But get up. You have to get up. Not just get up physically. Get up in your thoughts, in your mind, in your conscience, in your morals. Stand up in your soul. Stand up in your spirit. Be all that you should be, that God created you to be. It's all in our nature, not in our mind. You have the capability to be all what you want to be. Some people just want to be a dog, an animal. Some people want to be a thug. Some people want to be a criminal. That's your thoughts. That's what you want to be, then that's what you want to be. But then some people want to grasp into God's world and elevate to another level or want something out of life. Now, brothers and sisters, you could be in a wheelchair and become wealthy by doing what? Using your intellectual thoughts. You know, I saw a movie, and the movie comes to me because it was a very strange movie. And it started off, his name is on the tip of my tongue, but I can't think of it. And he was running. He was running hard, and there was an accident. But they didn't get to him yet. The story is about this man that came over here and had no money. And he scraped up money to come to America, and he just wanted to do things. So he stumbled up by creating fashion. And boy, did he go to the top. He was doing it big. But they tried to take advantage of him. But he had so much pride, so much dignity. And so what happened, he decided that he was going to walk away from this major investor, because the investor wanted to make him a slave. He didn't want to be no slave. And therefore, all of his creditors want their money. He didn't have it. So he went and had a beautiful family. Wife was just superb. His child, he loved it. But the wife was having a problem with him because she felt he wasn't spending enough time with the little girl that loves him. He couldn't. His business is falling. So he went and asked his employees just to hold out and everything would be okay. So he got in his car and he rode for about 8 hours until he found his friend. Friend was very wealthy. And he asked him how the wife. The wife passed away, and he's alone now. But the thing I liked about the friend in the beginning, the friend said, "What do you mean? You're here for a reason. What do you mean?" He said, "I need some money." "How much money do you need?" He said, "Right now, just to take care of my payroll, I need about $4 million." He said, "You got it." He said, "But I need another $10 million. To be able to do what I have to do." He said, "Don't worry about it. You got it. As long as you come back, me," and something else he wanted to do. I couldn't pick it up, but something else he wanted him to do. He said, "Oh, no problem." He said, "Okay, how about you have tea with my family," meaning my employees. So all 12 of them went to the house, and they drank, and they had fun laughing. And he said, "Okay, it's now time to go. We let him get some rest." And so he did. So he went to talk to the guy, and he said, "I'm not giving you the $12 million because you didn't do what I asked you to do. I ain't asked for all of them to be here. You brought them here. Now he's messed up. $12 million. He's $12 million in the hole." So he went to this one, he went to that one, he went to this one, he went to that one, to the point that his wife told him to get out. She says she can't take it, that you're not spending enough time with the child. This guy's all messed up. He gets in his beautiful sports car. I think it was a Porsche. And he drove, and he stopped at this bar, and this lady was singing. Boy, could she sing. Whitaker, that's his name. He played the part. He wanted to go see the guy that he hit, and he never told him it was him that put him in the wheelchair. But old Whitaker, the star of the movie, he had a beautiful home. And he had a wife that can sing. He goes to the bar and hear her sing. But she's a weird girl. She'll come by and he would come up in his wheelchair and she would undress him and kiss him, lay in his arms. Why, he's sitting out there because he wanted to talk to Whitaker. She closed the door and he said, okay, go have fun. And she wanted to have sex with him. But he didn't want to have sex with her. He didn't come there for that. She got hot. So we get the hell out and such, such, such. He didn't understand it. But he went out and he laid by the tree and spent the night laying there by the tree because he's all messed up in the head. And Whitaker has school in his backyard. And all people come and he talks about revelation and what they should do and how they could clean their lives up. And he said, you here? I thought my wife told you to go. So he said, I need to talk to you. He finally had a chance to talk with him. And he told him he was the guy that hit him. And Whitaker said, okay, you're forgiven. He said, how could you just forgive me like that? He said, I trust in God. For you to come and tell me that you hit me, it's okay. I'm not going to stop you from getting in the hereafter. I said, whoa, this movie is pretty good. So it was just an excellent way about the mind over matter, trust in God. But it ended kind of weird, meaning you had to figure it out yourself. I like it because that's what God is saying to us. We have to understand it's not the physical. This man couldn't walk anymore. But this man was successful because he didn't put the emphasis on his physical body. The man that needed help, he could have took on the wife because the wife was beautiful. She had to have some kind of man. She loved him, and man, did she not love him. But she couldn't have a man. So she had to take on strange men in the bar that tells her that he is clean. She would flash a light in your face and say, okay, you're it. And you wouldn't say no because she's so beautiful. But she had a man she loved but couldn't love her back physically. But she was in love with his heart. She was in love with his spirit. She was in love with his creativity. That's what she loved. Here you men got women and women got men that can walk and talk and react. But you ain't thankful to God because you want more. That's what you want more. You forget you had nothing. You forget that you were down and out. You forget that what life is about. This is a temporary world, but we can't see it. And then we wonder why Satan is able to get to us. That's why you got to do drugs. That's why you got to get high, because you can't handle the truth. For Allah says, I've tried those before you. Who are you not to be tried? But you sit there and you lay there and you're evil. And more important, you give up what God sent to you, a real man. You want to control him. You want to dictate to him. You want to stop him from loving anybody else. That's how selfish, and the sad thing, conscious, you don't even know it. Okay, that's the physical. What about our community? What about our children not being educated? Oh, you waiting on Donald Trump, the President Donald Trump. What about feeding your family? Oh, you waiting for the president. You worrying about taxes and what you have to pay and how your money is going to come in and how you're going to take Social Security. Never think about how you're going to create your own. So Allah puts you in that difficulty because why? You have to think now. You have to think on your own. Close the door, you realize right now 60% of the whole entire world is in trouble. Isn't that amazing? But Allah says we are all created in our nature equal. Are you in tune with your nature? I don't think so. So all people come from one religion, from some religion. All people come from the same origins. Which one? It's all the same. We've been deceived by Satan. You know, Satan is called the enemy of mankind. That's in the Holy Quran. But Satan is the devil. But Allah gave it to us in the Holy Quran. He's the enemy of all mankind, but you do Satan's will. Now, he can't will nothing on you, but he can trick you. He can con you. He can deceive you. He's the enemy of all mankind in Revelation. He's the enemy of all people. In the Bible, in the Quran, both books, hereafter. You see, we inherit, both books talk about the inheritance of what we should inherit in this world. They wouldn't talk about it if they didn't know it. We hold the truth to be self-evident that all men are created equal. Where do you think they got it from? Did you ever think that the Constitution said it? Allah said we all equal. We hold this truth to be self-evident that all men are created equal. It gives us the rights and the pursuit of happiness. Who gives us the rights? Who gives us the pursuit of happiness? Are you pursuing happiness? How could you? How could you? You ain't even happy with what you have in pursuit of happiness. No, you pursue of getting high. You pursue of having free sex. You pursue of what man you can get or what woman you can get. You're not pursuing happiness. You're just dying a spiritual death. You're a dead man walking. You don't want nothing out of life. Oh, you say that the white man created that. It gives us the rights in the pursuit of happiness. You know, no government can't talk. Or this is what is in the Constitution. No governor can do those rights away from you. The United States of the government cannot give us that. For Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us that. We was born with those rights. You have to know that. If you don't know it, brothers and sisters, if you don't know it, then you won't have it. But they didn't say the Constitution did not say Jesus Christ. It didn't even say Allah. But the five senses or the five ayahs didn't say Allah. It says, read in the name of your Lord that created. So they didn't mention Jesus. They didn't mention Allah. And what was they talking about? For if you read God's creation, you will see that you are equal and that you are given the rights to pursue all happiness. That's in the creation. And this is why we read the Holy Quran. So the communication of Muhammad, the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah didn't mention himself. He said, O Muhammad, read in the name of your Lord that created. Now you can see it. You see, brothers and sisters, we tell y'all to read the Holy Quran, but y'all think it's taboo. Just like the brothers won't read the Quran because they think the Bible's taboo. But not in El-Islam. In El-Islam, we want to be acquainted with those who don't know Islam. We want American brothers and sisters that we have to live with to find peace amongst ourselves, that we have to work our Jews for our future, that we will find the future, that we can be successful in this country. We want them to know us. We want them to feel comfortable with us. There are many differences. Yes, there are many different kinds of Muslims. There's orthodox Muslims and unorthodox Muslims. There are proud Muslims. And there's notorious Muslims, insane Muslims. There are many kinds of Muslims. I heard W.D. Muhammad, Imam Waliuddin Muhammad, say that doesn't shame him, and nor do it shame me. I believe, just like he believes, proud to represent that I am a Muslim. What is a Muslim? A Muslim is one with good character. A Muslim is one who loves his neighbor. A Muslim is one who brings peace and happiness. A Muslim is one who practices his religion every day. Every minute, every second, a Muslim is one that makes this prayer, maybe not on time because of society, but we can make it up. He can't lay down unless he have completed his prayers. That's a Muslim. A Muslim is one that gives charity. I have to thank my Christians. They love to give charity. That's a Muslim. That's what we love to do. There's a lot of no good Christians in the world and other religions, people. They are no good. But did you not know that Hitler was a Christian? That he inflicted pain? But yet he was a Christian. Hitler, who caused one of the horrendous crime on a people, not a person, a people. He used his power to inflict pain on weak people who could not fight back. Proud to be a Christian. So you can't talk about in Islam. You can talk about Islam because it don't exist in the Holy Quran. So I want to ask you a question, my Christians. Does that mean we should look at you as shameful? We should be unfavorable to you because Hitler was a Christian? I don't know a Muslim in Islam who claims he's a Muslim commit the crime of Hitler, who was a Christian and a proud one. But Allah says there's good Christians. So how can you look at all 1 billion, 500 billion Muslims as doing anything, and it was not on that level? And my God, look what they did to us in America. 400 years of slavery. And don't you ever think the Jews were not a part of it. The Christians and the Jews put the Muslims in slavery called the African Muslims that came here and knew nothing about America. So are you asking us to hate them, hate all Jews, hate all Christians, not in Islam? Do we hate our enemy? Allah hates them. Where if Allah hate, if you in Islam, you going to hate it. And whatever Allah love, if you in Islam, you going to love it. Now that's good. Goes with Christians and Jews, the good ones. But I'm speaking about what I represent every day. Sure, I love my Jewish brothers that want to be right. Some of the best Jews out there. I made my money with my brothers. Well, my grandmother was a Jew. So I don't hate Jews. But I hate anybody that flits pain on a person that can't help themselves. So don't tell me about the heinous things that the Christians are doing right now today. But any man that tells you Adam, and we speak of Adam, that Adam was created by mud and dirt and clay. And some people say it was created by dust. Well, that's good. I talk about it all the time. Because you got to feed baby food. But we've been a year on this radio, but none of that exists. None of that exists. For Adam, the reason Allah used the earth is to bring you back to your excellence, to develop on this all that you need, brother. Nothing from this world. See, those men never study, and they hung up on the physical, and they don't understand that Allah used the earth to expand your mind, to create wealth. Wealth for people to eat, wealth to grow vegetables and fruits and the natural things, wealth to have land, wealth to help the poor, wealth. And you sit around and don't want anything. You sit on land. Brothers and sisters, on Tuesday, I think I will teach it because it's disturbing me how men could sit on land and don't understand it's a gift. This is Allah's earth, and that's why he said mud. That's why he said dirt and clay to wake you up that your father is not of mud or clay. But if he gives it to you in the physical sense of the word, you probably will grasp it. And I said to myself, okay, let's take the gloves off and give it to them because they don't have it. They are falling. They're losing their capability of being excellent. You're losing these buildings. You can't build one. You're losing your restaurant. You can't build one. You got land. They're taking it from you. It's a shame. It's a disgrace. You think that's Satan? I want you not to misconstrue. You cannot look at the Christians because of Hitler. You can't look at Christianity that way. You cannot look at the Jews that way because what was done here, not all of them, but Jesus have said, and I will quote, you are of your father, the devil. Most of them, most Jews are of the devil, their father, out of heaven, like a lightning. It says it in the book of Revelation. But there are some good Jews, brothers and sisters, that pray like you and serve God like you and want for their brother what they want for themselves. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad did not just create the word devil. 1,000 years ago, Jesus was calling him a devil. You know, of your father, the devil. But we get hung up. We get hung up on nationality. You know, it's in your family. And where I come from, we didn't want our daughters or our son to marry outside our family because we was physical. So you say to yourself, you raise your children, and here come a Caucasian. So since I got so many boys, what about a Caucasian female? And the only way you can get over it, you say, well, I'd rather for him to pick a white human being than that white power they call the female, that white woman, that white horse, and all the kind of names they give it to. So that makes you to see it. But then as years go by, you get past the physical and say, she's a human being. Just so happens she's perfect for my son. You see how law works? But then you dig a little deeper, if it wasn't for my Caucasian grandma, I wouldn't be here. Isn't that amazing? You see, you so black, you don't want to reflect. You know, it's amazing when you have somebody call you white, 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 white. You're a white man. And you can imagine being in love with your wife and she say, you white, you white, you white. And you say, why does she keep calling me white? Well, actually, she's whitening me with the white cloth, taking that physical stuff out of your head. Because you know she loves you, but she say, I never would be in love with a white man. And it brings you to the reality of life. And it's got nothing to do with you being white or black. It has something for you to be obedient to God. Oh, you just come to a different level of understanding. And so I'm going to begin to now teach what you should actually see that book being. When you read that Mary had a baby without the aid of a man. That's true. That was the will of Allah. All this about the virgin, you thought it meant between her legs. You thought that Jesus came here without a man, but he had to be either God himself or son of man. but you never talked about your father who did it way before Jesus was thought about. He came from the womb of the natural earth. But you didn't understand it. And where was man? Wasn't none. So why do you think Allah can't create a man through the womb of a female without the aid of a man? You're so messed up that you want to put a human being next to him. You're so messed up, you think God had to come through the womb. All this is going to have to change. Because if you don't change it, you don't see it. The brothers want to wear clothes, and that makes them Islamic. Sometimes make you a damn fool. I'm going to tell you the truth. But you see, story in the Bible, I used to read how the brother's son, I'm sorry, his daughter, and his daughter was left at home. Now, men back there took advantage of women. So he dressed up like a man so she wouldn't be disturbed. This is in the Bible story, because the story is saying that I had to protect my wife while I was gone. So she was wearing man clothes. So nobody bothered her until he came home. Smart, isn't it? If he had dressed her up in all them clothes and those headpieces and like they dressed back then, she'd have been raped or robbed. Smart, isn't it? But today you had war. And for whatever reason, we are under the impression that we have to dress looking like someone else in order to prove that Islam is in our heart. You know, I know another brother. I love him. And he's smart because he loves to dress like that. And he's a very respectful individual that I have a great deal of love for. But more important, when he goes into that courtroom, he knows he better not put those clothes on. And see how smart that is? Because you got to understand where you live. There's no way that the panel will even listen to him dressed that way in this day and time, the way they see Al-Islam. So today, brother, we are judging people by the clothes they wear. No, that's the physical, and that's the law of that courtroom. And that's what they will never accept, him coming in there with a guy dressing the way they are used to, and here you come dressing another way. Now, of course, when he come home, he can't wait to get back in those clothes. That's his prerogative. But he knows when to do it. You don't know when to do it. You, like a fool, they're looking to shoot people and stab people and do many things, but then you send your wife out there. And you send her out there in Satan's world, and you got them dressed all the ways and difference that they can identify as a Muslim. Well, hell, that's not no Muslim in their actions and deeds. They can't see their heart. Allah dresses the heart. He covers the heart. You can't see the heart. You can't see God's will internally. So what it looks like, brother, you can't see it. But on the outside, you bring harm to yourself, and you think that Allah is judging you by the clothes you wear. Put on a red suit, but come in and match it with the right heart. Come in the masjid with the right understanding. Come in the masjid clean. Come in the masjid and understand that you're in the house of worship. Ah, but your clothes says something different, that you are righteous, but yet you're beating on women, yet you out there smoking reefer, you out there doing drugs, yet you do all the despicable things that gives us this way that people think in America that we are suicide bombers and we are, call us radical Muslims. Well, I reiterate, I'm proud to be a Muslim. And you can't judge me. I wear what I think I ought to wear. But my charity, my zakat, my sadaqah is superb. not only in my physical monetary compensation that I made in the world, in my deeds and my actions, and my concern about my Jewish brothers, and my concern about my Christian brothers. You Jehovah Witness, I love you too. You can be any religious person you want to be, but I see you as a human being. And because of that, I love you. And I would do anything that's right to protect who you are. Not for you. You don't have to pat me on the back. You don't have to give me no accolades. But I love my, and I'll give my life for my sisters. For we're supposed to be a community, husband and wife from the neck up. Inshallah. I thank you for listening. And I pray Allah that you can get something out of what I say. Tune in tomorrow at 7 o'clock p.m. to 9. I'll be on for 2 hours. And I will bring you a little more deeper than what I'm trying to convey to you. And inshallah, I'm able to do that. And that's alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen. We just say we greet you from Adam all the way to Abraham and to Muhammad the prophet. Prayers and peace be upon him and his descendants and his companions. And we greet you from the Arabic language of Allah, from the Holy Quran. We say, As-salamu alaykum. Peace be unto you. Thank you for listening.
Blog Talk Radio.
As-salamu alaykum. This is your beloved brother Murad Muhammad live on your Blog Talk Radio coming to you at 7 o'clock p.m. We are 2 minutes late and these things happen. I am human. I can't blame it on modern technology, but I can blame it on traffic. And assalamu alaikum. This is your beloved brother Murad Muhammad live on your Blog Talk Radio coming to you at 7 o'clock p.m. Tuesday evening. We are almost down to the wire as far as the holiday is concerned. As you all know, that Friday is Christmas, and then, of course, we have New Year's. We are going on our 9th show coming into the new year on this day, Tuesday. And Tuesday is special to me because this is how I started on Blog Talk Radio, New Africa, Excellent and Mirage Speak. And it gives me great privilege, and surely I am highly honored to do so, brothers and sisters. I never, ever thought in my mind that I would be on the radio. The reason being is because I come from producing on national network. And I was taught that very well by a young man named Henry Schwartz. And we say, for Allah separate his faults from his goodness, as thou separate his east from the west, because Henry Schwartz was my mentor. And he was an outstanding, outstanding scientist, outstanding in his ability to put the satellite in the sky. But more important, created pay-per-view. Pardon me, I want to take that back, not pay-per-view. He created Closed Circuit, him and his partner, and they created all the things that allow you to be able to do Closed Circuit. You had to buy his equipment in order for it to be televised in the restaurants and the arenas and et cetera, et cetera. And that was the biggest thing in boxing. And the average fighter was able to make millions. And if he was Muhammad Ali or Joe Frazier or even Larry Holmes, that closed circuit would be much larger. And these fights allowed me to learn is to be able to produce A1 quality. And he taught me that. Never thought that I would grow up and start producing myself. But because of his outstanding achievement and getting so many medals from NASA and helped the men and women in China to launch their satellite to the moon, yes, he was that gifted. But for some reason, he took time out of his busy schedule to teach me. I began to produce my small fights. I began to do closed circuit. But then a new technology came into existence, and that new technology was called pay-per-view. When pay-per-view came in, I was very excited about that. But I had the ability to produce fights on CBS. No other major network gave me that ability. ABC, where I was with for over 20-something years, and NBC over 20-something years, and HBO over 20-something years, and likewise with Showtime. But I was able to produce on CBS. And I started producing around the world because they did not do foreign sales. And that's how I really had the continuity to send my name around the world in various different countries. And I realized that TV is where it's at. If you know anything about the ratings, you will find out that's what they are in the business. The reason I was able to tap into HBO for the first time in my career. Now I was able to go into HBO and convince them to come behind the prison walls in New Jersey, Rahway State Prison. And we won Best Program of the Year, and I never failed them. So I had a very strong relationship with Seth Abraham, the president of HBO. I didn't know anyone else but the lawyer. And sure, I didn't know anybody else but the gentleman that ran the pay-per-view. I was able to reach his level, and I began to do my own pay-per-view. And with his technology and his ability of an engineer, we did some wonderful things. But the reason for all of this is to say I used to beg the radio networks to come a part of us because there's a lot of the African Americans, but they couldn't see it. And so therefore, I had no other choice to give it to my Jewish brothers, my Italian brothers, my Irishman brothers, all those that was involved in communication and the radio. They came. We must have forgot that years ago when I was a young man sitting on the bench in the projects with my friends, we listened to a fight of Muhammad Ali fighting Sonny Liston for the heavyweight championship of the world. It was on the radio. To many men, Barry Frank, the president of NBC, and today he was over at ING, as all the, if you are any type of an athlete, tennis, basketball, football, baseball, he has them. Have more. He's over top of that. But he ran NBC. And he used to talk about how his father used to sit in the car and they would hear Muhammad Ali. So radio was powerful. I had to bring it back. I wanted to bring it back. Because sometimes you're driving and you're not home to get to the TV, but you're on the road, but you would like to hear that fight. And I did for a while, but didn't catch on like I wanted to catch on. So I tried to get the people in the radio land to come and I will put them around ringside. Well, they couldn't see that neither. So we're a type of people, see, when the Italian fighters are fighting, whether it's 4 rounds or 6 rounds or a 10 fighter, every Italian comes out. The Irishmen can fight, and the Irishmen will come out and support that individual. And the Latinos, oh, my God, countries just to come in and watch their 4 rounds or 6 rounds. So they are known to be able to produce the money. But the African-American was a little different. They didn't support each other. But once you become a Joe Frazier, a Larry Holmes, a Sugar Ray Leonard, once you become a Tommy Hearns, when you become a fighters of substance, Saad Muhammad, Eddie Mustafa, Muhammad Kwan, here they come. Oh, do they want to see a Roy Jones Jr.? Yes, these are the reason why we're Johnny come lately, but we won't come if they are somebody. So I try to get my readers, all 500 of them. I used to put them on free conference call. I'll never forget the brother. That brother was able, Kareem was able to tell me, you don't have to pay out $4,000 or $5,000 to talk to your people around the country. There is a vehicle called Free Network. Free call. Conference call. I said, you've got to be kidding. It's nothing free. But that man was wise. He knew if millions, and there's millions of us that use the station, all the advertising comes to him. Because why? He built it. And the reason he was able to build it is because, brothers and sisters, he wanted to talk to his family. He was a world traveler. Started off saying, hey, let me let them be able to talk to their family. It don't cost you nothing. And he created Blog Talk Radio in 2006. And he didn't start making money until about 2003, 2004. And here we came. So he makes his money by having millions of us collectively around the country, outside the country, to be able to speak on the radio. But if you go past 1,000, you have to pay. It's no longer free. But most of us stay under the 1,000. Well, because I went into the 7 figures, I got to pay more. Block Talk Radio. Now free conference call. And these men don't look like you and I. It could be one of our ideals and they stole it and went took it and made it large. I can't actually tell you that. They know business and they know how to create business. So I walked amongst them and I want to come back and give it to you. To all of you out there that doesn't understand communication. And it started by a brother named Alfred Muhammad. He said, Mirai, how about coming on my radio show? I don't turn down no vehicle that will put my name out there for what I represent. I had no clue how many people he had. Doesn't matter to me. If I can reach one for millions from Allah, but if I reach one and my intentions are honorable, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorify his name, will do what? He will give it to me as if I had done it for good intentions. How could we lose with the stuff we use? For Allah said, just give it to them. He didn't say, make them tune in. He didn't say, dictate to them. He didn't say, rule them. He said, let's see if your heart is right. Why are you doing that? Deduce to we out there that's walking around with COVID-19 and masks on our face and said you must stay home. Christmas, you must stay home. New Year's, they begging you to stay home. Something is wrong. But it allows you to be able to have time to listen to communication. And so I goes on Alpha Show. He liked me. Called me back again. He liked it. Called me back again. He liked it. And he said, how would you like to take 3 weeks? 3 weeks? Now, communication is my thing. I love to communicate. I would not be successful around the world if I did not knew how to speak, how to promote my name for a reason. For the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may God be pleased, on said, a good name is better than gold. Gold, he didn't say currency. Gold. Well, I got it. My leader, I'd say, I have it. And I started promoting my name. Because a good name is better than gold. But I had no clue that I was going to come on a radio show. And he said, can you take 3 months? I said, okay. And his wife, about a month later, put her arms around me, and she raised up with my daughter. And she said, thank you for taking us viral. Now, that touched me, because you cannot make it in the network business unless you bring ratings, because that's what they want. So if I'm doing a 1 or 2 or 3, they're going to get rid of me, and that's on Saturday and Sunday, because that's all baseball and basketball and football, no, not football. When it starts, like it's starting now, they don't get too many people watching it. But they can't get rid of it because they dominate by power. Billionaires own these different entities. So they have to put them on. But why did boxing last? Because while they was doing 1, 2, 3 on a Saturday, we was doing 9, 10, 11, 12. And I remember very distinctly George Foreman was doing the 22. That's what made boxing. Because look at the people, and I told you, they're in the advertising business. So they was able to say, look at a ratings jump because of the sport of boxing. Now, I understood that. Long story, can't tell you it all, but I learned by the network. That movie motivated me, and I was able to say, I'm walking into Time Warner's. By me being there for 40 years with continuity, 1,000 fights on ABC, NBC, CBS, HBO, USO, Fox News, USA, pay-per-view, closed circuit, I built a name. And so when I go and talk to my children in the schools, I tell them, just put my name in. And I tell them, I break them up in quarters and say, you go to Google, you go to Yahoo, you go to Facebook, you go to Instagram. Whoa! Why? Because a picture is worth more than 1,000 words, brothers and sisters. And so I become famous because every child, every young adult, every adult, and every senior love to see someone that looks like them that made it in the world. I don't dance. I don't sing. I don't play no instrument. I don't play football, basketball, soccer, baseball. I don't play any of that. But what I did wanted to do is to be like the greatest of all time, Muhammad Ali. But he was a great boxer. But his name and his communication made the world knew who we were, Muslims in America. They didn't believe there was Muslims in America. Right now, today, we don't believe you're a Muslim. Isn't that something? But it was the great Muhammad Ali. They all love Muhammad Ali. So I had the privilege of being with him for 12 years, protecting his life. But I wasn't just a security man. I was able to observe how the people around the world is more poor than we are. How the people around the world live places you and I would never leave. We wouldn't even survive. I said, whoa, America is something. We built it. We're Americans. And so therefore, we are proud to be American because our ancestors helped build this country. And our ancestors suffered. Boy, did they suffer the bounds of suffering. And so I said to myself, okay, I'm going to do this. We went viral. Then after a year, I couldn't get on the network. I didn't know why. I thought something happened. One day, 2 days, 3 days, four, five. And then I get a call. Where are you? What do you mean, where am I? We hear another man on your show. One day is okay. 3 days is okay. But we got to hear this every day. I said, I have no clue. So I tried out to get my brother to find out what happened. I didn't get any call back. Now, one thing about me, brothers and sisters, if a door closes, I'm going to the next door. And if that closes, I'm going to the next door. I don't take no for an answer. I have to be consistent. But I wasn't worried about me because I'm not really too interested in being on the radio. I was interested in all those texts and emails I was getting. So I called up Blog Talk Radio. And I said, excuse me, I want Tuesday. Can I get Tuesday once a month? You can get Tuesday, but you can't get it once a month. I said, well, what I have to do? You got to have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I said, all right, give me a week for once a month. Oh, no. I can't get a week? Nope. But you can get 52 weeks. What am I going to do with 52 weeks? 52 weeks and me on the radio? Oh, no. And I thought about it. And once I thought about it, brothers and sisters, I said, I can give the other stations to people who have gifts, a gift to give back. I can go and say, hey, come, my sister, come, my brother. I got an hour for you. You want two? Well, what's on your mind? Tell the people what God has given you. I got a vehicle. Well, too many people didn't come. I think a few that did come. And we did have a few females, did a wonderful job. I have to give them credit. Did a wonderful job. And I had brothers that came and left and came and left and came and left. Oh, we was trying. We was trying. We hold the cost. There was only about two or three of us that steady. We started off 8 years ago and still here today. Then Allah began to send us help. But the point was, I didn't take this for me. I felt I would be able to give inspiration to one who would not be able to afford to come on for an hour and speak, or half an hour. Didn't matter to me. If you can speak, go ahead. And someone made mistakes. I said, it's my show. I paid the fiddle. I called the tune. But it's not going to just happen overnight. Doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. And they did. Some women did. And, of course, they got burnt out. But the show must go on. I am known for that. Said, literally, I patented the show must go on. Because I got third-person people out there. I owe an obligation. I said I was going to do it. I have to do it. So all my success comes from, how could it benefit more than yourself? And I found the key that allows Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah glorify his name, to assist you. One, it can't be just for yourself. Two, it's got to be good intentions. Three, you are being able to help your community. Wow. So I said, that's what I've been doing all my life, is giving. That's what I do. You want to put that in my name, Sakat? How about Sadaka? That could be a part of my attribute because I lived that, thank you to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, given when I was a little boy. Because when I made $10, my mama got it. When I made $20, my mama got it. When I made mama got it, all I wanted was 50 cents to go to skate and 50 cents to buy the skates and 50 cents to get in. And once you got in, it was candy. Never said to my mother, where's my money? So I've been doing this ever since I was 7, 8 years old. I love to give. I love to help. And more important, you want to help the men that's around you because what do you look like with all the money they have not? And I kept growing because I said, this ain't enough. I can't just keep giving money to them. Let me create a business. And I came into the restaurant business. And so many people say, well, I know I used to work for you. So many I can't count. I had trucks on the road and businesses at restaurants. I was doing well, but it was too much work. You got to go to the farmer's market. Everything got to be fresh. You got to cut it up. You got to make it. You got to clean. You don't get home at 1 o'clock in the morning. But that's business. And I was successful. I can tell the story of the female that came and just took over my business and brought it to another level. I know more by name. So I had insight, and I had desire to see farsight. And this is why I'm coming on the radio on Tuesday, and I usually do, when I ask Marad Muhammad, you can. But I found myself getting away from Tuesday. Because Tuesday, what I'm doing tonight is what I always did for over 8 years. Now I'm going on 9. I gave back what Allah has given to me. And I never sold a tape. I got tapes galore. And a brother came to me. He said, how do you hide that behind the wall? I said, I don't sell my tapes. Tell them to turn on the radio and put it in. Blog Talk Radio, New Africa, Exit, Rob Speaks. Tell them to put it in. He said, no, brother. I don't care if you give it to charity. Sell your tapes. I said, you know what? Can you use some money? He said, yes. I said, you sell. And I will do it because I got a great deal of people out there that would love to hear what I have said because they don't know it. They don't have a clue that I'm a student of Imam Warasdeen Muhammad. And a lot of people think when I say that, I'm fabricating. One thing I will not lie or embellish. I wouldn't take it out of proportion when it comes to this Holy Quran and anything and anyone that is associated with the Holy Quran. Now, you may say to me, brother, how could you say that associated with the Holy Quran? Well, let's see. Aisha, who is your husband? Peace and blessing be upon her. She said, my husband is a walking Quran. So we got all confused, brothers and sisters. We thought only he could be a walking Quran. Yes, but the Imam would be Muhammad, when he would teach me, he would say, dig a little deeper. And digging a little deeper is to see matter. Dig a little deeper is to get you away from all those fairy tales and pictures. How is it that the prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah, peace and blessings be upon him, that his wife says he's a human walking Quran. I said, I got it, buddy, man. It's his nature. He said, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So that means your nature, our nature, we all got the same nature. It has nothing to do with him being a messenger of God, a slave servant to Allah. It has nothing to do with he's a prophet to us. We surely can't call him. We surely cannot call him a messenger. That's strictly for Allah. So he's a messenger of God, because God needs no prophesied by himself. But he sent one from amongst us that grew up, that didn't have the things that most of you have today. He was an orphan. Didn't even know his father. Why? His father died when he was in the womb. There's no reason for him to have it. And his mother didn't raise him old enough to teach him his father because he was still sucking the nipple in order to eat when she passed. So there's no way he knew both of them. But why is it, brothers and sisters, why is it that they give us these pictures? Because it gets your attention, gets my attention. that he was offered. So if you say to yourself, well, his father was Arab, his mother was Arab, yes, but he wasn't raised as an Arab. So if he was raised with an Arab, what was his nationality? Allah didn't give it to us. Now, I'm not trying to be spooky, but it took my father, who passed away, he's been gone for about 20 years. My father told me one day, I said, Dad, I don't work for nobody, anybody. I said, I don't know why I'm an entrepreneur. And he said, and you're not a nigger, neither. And I said, whoa, I mean, it just bothered me. I don't want to be a nigger, but I knew I was black. I'm African-American. Well, what did he mean? He said, you're a native Indian. Now, brothers and sisters, I had no clue that I'm a native Indian. But if you go check the record, I go back and I check my grandma. My grandma is Jewish. My grandma came over here from Germany to Poland to Canada and found my grandpa who lives on the Indian reservation. So now I'm really messed up because my grandma is Jewish. She's white. They had 11 children. Now she brought two with her, but they was raised as one family. Never deviated. And I watched all of them pass away. The point was, how am I Jewish? Because my father came out of a Jewish womb. And all Jews would tell you, if a male entering into a Christian womb, enters in an Islamic womb, according to the Jews, you are not Jewish, even though that was the daddy. But when your father comes out of the womb of that Jewish woman, you are Jewish. And it's amazing because 20, 30 years ago, they started saying, you're just like a Jew in a good way. I lived amongst them. They taught me. Henry Schwartz. I can name a whole lot of Schwartzes. But the point is, I'm getting to a point. Now, I was taught that I was the Asiatic black man, the maker and owner, the cream of the planet Earth, father of civilization, God of the universe. I was black and was proud of it. But my mama, I came out of that womb. She was black. Well, no cut on my mother. So wait a minute. My grandmother, the Torah. My father, the Bible. I, in Islam, I realized I was blessed. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was blessed. There was no nationality could take him over. There's no language can take him over. There's no color of his skin can take him over. What is he? He's a human walking Quran. And the Holy Quran is for all humanity. There was no cut on him that he was hung up on his nationality. He was hung up on clothes. He was hung up on what color complexion is he. Didn't matter. The question was asked to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the question was asked to him, brothers and sisters, who's the most important person in his life? Well, let's look at it. His uncle raised him. But he gave them to mothers because why? He needed that milk. He needed the food. He was still young enough that he had to suck that nipple. So you don't misconstrue what I'm saying. And he was three, four different women who were smart. He knew you're not going nowhere until you're able to get the pure milk from a female. Now, what complexion was they? We don't know. It doesn't matter. if you go to the physical, for what? What is the reason you need to know that? All you know, she was a human being because she wouldn't have had milk if she wasn't a female. So he knew he could not raise this little boy. It was offense. A lot of y'all offense. He had no money. A lot of you all have no money today. So you don't have no excuse. But he asked him the question, who's the most important place, people in your life, the most important person in your life? He said, my mama. He didn't know his mama. You know your mama. You raised up with your mama. She caught you when you was falling. She picked you up when you fell. She holds you in her arms and rocked you to sleep. She nursed you back to health. She taught you how to speak. She taught you how to walk, how to stand up. She educated you ever since you come out of that womb. And today you disrespect your mother. That's not Satan. Tell me who it is. But here is it. Here is it. The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, without knowing, spoke from his nature. The Quran. Didn't even know it. My mother. My mother. My mother. But you can't forget father because he had to have that seed. So father's important. There's nothing in Revelation that says if your mother's a junkie, disrespect her. If your mother's a, there's nothing in the Quran says that you should disrespect your mother because she's uneducated. Well, what was the prophet? What was that prophet, the seal of the prophet? Because when you talk about one, you talk about all of them. And all of them got some kind of seminary. So therefore, Prophet Muhammad didn't know him, and surely didn't know his father. But he was speaking from his heart. He was raised for 40 years in his heart. He didn't know he was acting out the Quran. Oh, brother, sister, yes, the Quran came 1,400 years ago. But we come in this world with the Quran. Now, how could you say that? You're not no Dr. Murad. How everybody come in this world with the Quran? The book that's given to the Jews was created by man called the Torah. The book that was created by the Christians, some refer to it as the gospel, created by man. But the Holy Quran was created by Allah. So Allah decides that you're going so far astray, you want religion? This is Allah talking now, not me. You want religion, man? I gave you permission to create Judaism. I gave you permission to create Christianity. Form of fashion, you went astray. You become dictators. You took what I have created and allowed you to do, create, and made it pictures and idol gods. Yes. Oh, I can teach for another on what I'm speaking about. But it's to clear up this myth of your understanding. Can I do it in an hour and a half to see? Or Allah will make it grow. So the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, we can't judge him by what nationality he had. Because if he had a nationality, why would the Asians follow him? He don't look like him. He's Arab. Why would the Italians love him? He's Arab. Peans love him. He's Arab. Well, why would the African love a man that comes from Saudi Arabia and is Arab? There's no nationality except that. And I have to surely tell you, we come from 400 years of slavery. We're so proud to have anybody that can allow us to evolve doesn't matter to me. But I can comprehend why no one else would like to say he's the perfect example of all human beings. Yes, question it. But I'm here to tell you on Block Talk Radio, New Africa, Excellent Mirage Speaks, is that he was not Arab. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, he was not a dictator. I'm here to tell you that all of us have a jinn in us. And I like Musa. Musa said something very profound. Musa Muslim Abui, the great-grandson of Booker T. Washington, who've been studying Revelation ever since he was a little boy, because their whole family, they wanted him to be a priest. That's what they started out to be. But he said he had a disturbance with his wife, Aisha. Oh, boy, did I like that. Because we do. You live with your wife, and both of y'all smacking them and screaming at her because you've never been home so many days with one wife, but you're locked in the house. And so many divorces have happened. So many people can't get along with their wife because why? They're tired of them. And the wife is tired of him. Because what? He has nothing to do. He don't have no job. He can't go nowhere. So he's stuck in the home. He's stuck in the home. So Brother Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah removed that burden from him. And for 40 years, he lived a lifetime of being obedient, transparent, humble, trustworthy, seeing integrity. Everybody loved Ibn Muhammad. They loved him because of his character. They loved him because he didn't steal. They would leave his precious jewels. And they gave him the name Al-Amin, trustworthy. But something was bothering him. He couldn't understand these idol gods. Something was bothering him. Men and women doing the despicable things, something was wrong with him. That most of the people was poor, something was wrong with him. So he went to the cave. This is the way it's written. He went to the cave. And he was meditating. That's why a lot of y'all right now, you meditate. But you took it physical. Because the mind is divine. The mind was, what was he called to that mountain? I guarantee you, if you don't know, I'm going to tell you. But the question was, what was the mountain name before he went to that mountain? You can't tell me. But you definitely could tell me when he came out of that cave, what was the name of the cave? Enlightening. Whoa, dig a little deeper, Murad. What is enlightening? Well, it's what I'm doing right now. I'm enlightening you. So what was that cave? Did he climb Mount Everest? Because that's a big mountain. What was the cave? The cave was his intellectual mind. He was searching in there. When you don't have knowledge, you're in darkness. But Allah sent the angel Jibril that enlightened him. And when he got enlightened, they say he shook. And Khadija took him to her family member. And because they was called seers, not prophets, seers, they said he met the angel, Jabir. That's a true story. So he was able to now bring these people that was in paganism, practicing the idol gods. He went to their convention. He said, I would like to speak. All 500, 600, I think it was, statues the place was picked. Speak, Al-Amin, speak. He said, I'm here to tell you there's only one God. Oh, it was messed up. All of a sudden, they wanted to kill him. They chased him out of Mecca. Why? He wanted him dead. You teach us there's only one God. That's what's happening today. We say we're in Islam, but we got so many gods that we fell in love with. Fornication, that's not a law. Adultery, that's not a law. Lying and cheating and stealing, that's not a law. Doing wrong to your own brother. Watch him suffer. And you blessed to be able to feed him, but you won't feed him. Matter of fact, you burden them more and say, I'll take it out of your pay. How is it that we can say, la, 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 but Satan took you over? So the question was asked to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was arguing with his wife. He said, that's that jinn in you, dear. He said, no, that's not my jinn. That's your jinn. My jinn is Muslim. That's where it came from. He told him, yes, the jinn is in me, Dolly, but my jinn is Muslim. Y'all didn't get it. He allowed his jinn. But the difference from him and us, he never got out of his nature. He never got out of his nature. So the topic tonight that I want to talk about, we live in a day of judgment, but do we believe that God will destroy his creation in the final day of judgment? I don't just make this stuff up, brothers and sisters. Allah says it to me because I realize you don't even realize you are living in a day of judgment. Every day is a judgment day. How could you not know that? Well, you don't know about that angel that sits on that left, brother, who destroys family, brother, who underpaid families, brother, who won't see another family eating. Brother, he will take everything from you. He will take your wife from you. He will take your health away from you. And you will walk as a dead man walking on this earth. That angel on the left takes you to hell. It writes everything you do in the dark. It says clearly what happens in the dark will come to light. And you, brother, you, sister, blink. You think that you're getting away. You can't get away. It's written. You don't understand. Cut that shoulder off. I'm being facetious. Cut it off. And maybe he won't tell you because you didn't bring him in there. Because the one on the right tries to help you until you turn a deaf ear. So you better pray it comes to light. Then you can forgive it. What are you upset about, brother? Well, my wife found out such and such. Good. Now deal with it. And if you trust in Allah, Allah forgives anything that you come to him and beg for. He's all forgiving and most merciful. So you are being recorded on all that stupidity that's coming back to haunt anyone that chooses to do wrong to his human being. But you didn't get it because most of them amongst us are hypocrites. You don't even know they're hypocrites. But just go check their record. He gave you common sense. You don't need no rocket scientists to tell you who's hypocritical and who isn't. Just watch their actions. But they look good. They sound good. They look like they're helping us. Yes, I say it. I say it all the time, charged with saying something wrong about a brother. And the imam said, would you talk that in front of him? I said, if he's man enough to stand in front of me, And that brother stood in front of me. And I said, he said, I bond was good. That's between you and your Lord. I said, but at least I didn't lie on you. Because he told E man he repented. He's not that man anymore. I said, I'm sorry. You got to prove it to me. Because anybody that rides around, everybody don't have trucks. But if I got tractor, trailer, trucks, you're going to bet your dollar. And he's going to say New Africa or Murad Muhammad. Why? Because it's publicity. Publicity brings business. It's your name on anything if you're dirty. I said, I don't see no names on them trucks that's riding through our city. That alone tells me I doubt you. Simple. It's simple math. Find out that their business dropped to nothing. It was 99% of Christians couldn't get in. Because we, the Muslims, supports us. Today is verse vice versa. This is what sits in our midst. Oh, I can say a lot, but I'm trying to paint a picture that you're not waking up because you've got someone teaching you like you in kindergarten. And Muhammad the Prophet, had no education of this world. But he's the perfect example to all human beings. And before I open up, Prophet Muhammad, prayers of peace upon him, is a perfect example because for 23 years, what do we read? God's language. And what did he teach us for 23 years? What God said. That's what makes him perfect. Step out of there, you just like me. You bleed like me. You make mistakes like me. You sin like me. We all have sin. But when we speak in the words of God, and we say, Bismillah, we don't have to say, Bismillah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. But if we say, Bismillah, that's enough. God is with you. And then you don't have to say it in words. You say it in your heart. I'm going to help them, those people. If that ain't saying Allah is great, and that's not saying Alhamdulillah, then you don't know the heart. The heart speaks God's language. It's not man's language. So that's our topic for tonight. And I'm going to share some things about that to see if I can enlighten you, clear those cobwebs that's in your cave. And maybe you will come to the understanding to realize that the Quran is pictures to get your attention, to get my attention. But no one's speaking like this. Why? I'm a student of Imam Waraqeen Muhammad, and for over 20-some years he came to me. His daughter's right here. I guess Allah put her in New Jersey. So you could go to her later and say, later, is that true? She won't lie. She said, my father loved Murad, and he always went to see him. He took me sometimes, and I enjoyed myself, and sometimes he would lead me and go by himself to see Murad. And Murad is either in Indianapolis, Murad is in California, Murad is in Arizona. Murad is in Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana. Wherever I was at, here he comes. Oh, I could tell you some stories about Imam Waraqeen Muhammad. And I never asked. I was taught as a young man, we don't seek the post. Murad, how do you like to be a lieutenant? I never thought about it. Do you want to? I said, I don't ask. Murad, I want you, what day you like to teach as an imam? I said, I don't have a date. Why not? I give you the ball, you threw it back. I said, no, I ain't throwing it back. I'm not going to tell you when I want to come to your house. But if you invite me, then I have a right to say yes or no. I don't seek to post. You don't have to call me. Allah gives me a vehicle. I wouldn't have all these people. Musa was on with my niece, Salima Muhammad, and he said, I can see the people that's calling for you. She said, you can. He said, yes, because a whole lot of people around the world calls for it. I can see it. I'm his engineer. He said, so, but I think you're going to take off because I see how many people are listening to you right now. You see, brothers and sisters, Allah sends you, and I'm just using that, an angel. We're an angel, but we're not an angel. We can be an angel today, an hour, whatever, but we are angelic. So we're not an angel. We wasn't created to be an angel. We're above the angel. Why above? Because the angel got a job. Cannot do wrong. They just do the will of God. That's what they was created. And God created them to help us. Isn't that amazing? But we human beings above them, because we have to make a judgment. Choose right or choose wrong. And this is why Satan don't like us, because even in fact, he got that same choice. Even in fact, he's a jinn. Even the fact that he was created out of smokeless fire, he didn't like us. Mud, dirt. But Allah gave it to us to make a decision. So we have a right to ignore Allah. We have a right not to accept God. But no other person on the face of this planet, including the animals, the trees, the plane, the sky, anything, they do all submit to the will of Allah. But we have a right not to. So the jinn, that third devil, said, oh, no. I'm going to prove to you that they are not qualified, bona fide, and they will curse you. I'll come from the left, from the right, and the back, and the front, crisscross them over. So your appetite, you bit that apple. We say with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, prayers and peace. And thanks is for God. We thank him for the gift and the blessing of that mortal human person, Muhammad, the honorable and noble servant messenger of God, who has fathered that salute, that translation of that salutation to the last prophet, the seal of the prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings be upon him, as is mentioned in the Bible, as is given to us in the Holy Quran. Surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. We say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah ar-Rabbil alameen, wa sa'asa wa salam wa sa'asuli kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salakallah wa deen. So brothers and sisters, question was asked, we are living in a day of judgment. Every day is a judgment day. And do we believe what God will destroy his creation in the final day of judgment? Whoever tells you that, it doesn't make any sense that God made this beautiful earth. They call it paradise. Beautiful trees and flowers, paradise. For Allah created the sun, the moon, and the stars. Or it helps us. The sun is like vitamin D. It stimulates your body and regenerates it when you hit the sun. The sun can heal you. If you put nerves in you, well, it's not going to work quick as it will work if you're in the sun. The stars that you light up, you can see where you're going. Even if you're traveling in the forest. You could be in the jungle, but you don't need a clock. Follow the stars. It lights up. And the stars look like they're so close to you that you can touch it. But that star is so far out of the way, it's unbelievable. Allah let his human being to see that. And the moon. boy, the moon, maybe it could be a quarter moon, a full moon, and a whole moon. Even on the day of Ramadan, we have to spot the moon. Moon's important. Stars are important. The sun is important. They come out religiously. Snow, hail, you may not see it because it's cloudy, but they come out. That sun rises religiously, regardless what kind of weather it is, regardless how many ships you send up there, that sun comes out. That's the will of God. But no stars, no moon, not even the sun fell on us. So who holds it up? Scientists are still trying to figure out what makes it move like it moves. How do night turn to day and day turn to night? All around the globe. Well, Allah said he's the Lord of all the worlds. So there's a lot of worlds, brothers and sisters. You got animals, horses, cows, and bulls, sheep, and donkeys. You got animals, dogs, wolves, lions, tigers. You got monkeys. Those are worlds. He's the Lord of all the worlds. Now you got men coming from different parts of groups. They're all out in space. They're coming in here. If there's any world, he's the Lord of that too. The seven seas, we send our ships on that sails on his sea with his permission. Planes fly in his sky, fly with his air. He's in charge with the air. He's in charge with the rain, the hail, the snow, and all this beautiful fruit that comes from the trees and all these fish that we eat that swims in these various different seven seas. Animals who we love. You think Allah is going to destroy all of that? How about if you can concede in your mind that it took 1,000 years. Allah didn't just give us the Holy Quran. He gave us the Quran in moderation. And when that 23rd Quran was complete, Allah removed it. So you can't question him. You can't see him. You can't feel him. So the question was asked to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by his companions, am I? Are we your best followers? He said, no, you're my best companion. My best followers is an American who suffered for 400 years. They didn't know their language. They didn't know their parents. They didn't know their children. They didn't know their culture. They didn't know their nationality. They didn't know their religion. And my God, they didn't even know I was the Lord of all the world. Now, I'm not being facetious. Why is it made for us? Because we never saw him. We never touched him. Nobody taught us about him. They burned it out of us. Our ancestors tried to leave it. But how are you going to leave something when you stole my baby and took him from my belly and cut my belly in half and pulled it out and sent it somewhere else? Allah said, no, I'm going to raise them all back up because they had a covenant with our parents. So who is this baby? Now, I know what you're saying, that Muhammad the prophet raised the Christians and the Jews and raised the Arabs, who was one of the most unintelligent people on the face of the planet. They were burying women because they said it was a curse. They were practicing the idol of gods. Yes, Allah brought one up from there because they needed that. However, he is the mercy to all humanity, so he finally came to us. Came to us through Prophet, introduced us, but it was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that raised us. So here is it that we didn't recognize. You didn't recognize that they had to bring us back to civilization. They took a little girl at the age of 3 months and left her in the jungle with the monkeys. And they watched her. This is science. And the monkeys took care of that little girl. The difference is the little girl was acting as a monkey, climbing trees like a monkey, jumping up and down like a monkey, eating like a monkey. And they waited till the little girl got 12 years old. They went and got her. And the science was to see if they can bring her back to our being that are featuring in the nation where she was created. And after 2 years, she was eating with a fork. After 2 years, she was talking like a human being. After 5 years, she started walking upright. After 10 years, you never knew she was in that jungle because you cannot take the human being away from that. But we do. Oh, he is not a Muslim. Oh, I don't like that Christian. They ain't Muslim. They practice idol gods. Somebody need a spat view because that's only words. They may, without knowledge, make you think they practice idol gods. But with knowledge, you see, you got to wait, brother, sister, because you say you know, but you're not acting in your nature which you was created. So yes, Allah gave us Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Bilal did something they did not know what to do. Yes, they rang the bell. Yes, they blew a horn. But Bilal got up there as a slave. Hayya Salat called them all to prayer. But if you look at that word, Hayya, and you look deeper, and like the man would say, dig a little deeper, you will find out it means come to life, come to live. What it means, brothers and sisters. So we do it. Hayya Salat. But we don't know why we do it. Because no one won't teach you. No one won't define it for you. But call Block Talk Radio, New Africa, Excellent Raj, speak, and you're going to hear the language of the man that Allah has given a gift from amongst us. Say he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. But he ended up in prison because he rejected going into the service. 5 years. He was in exile. It's getting time to read. There's a book out by the Jews that this young boy was special. And he was so special that he became obese. And nobody knew, but he wouldn't leave the house. Because his job was to read that Torah and show us where Satan is at. Because he was so embarrassed in his weight, he was confined to his house. Imam Walid D. Muhammad was given the Holy Quran at 4 years old, but he was confined to the jail cell. And by God, he had time to read for 5 years. Now, I can go over prophets that did worse than him. Didn't Joseph go to jail? But we don't read. We sit on the rug and wait for someone that can't produce nothing, won't even tell you where your money's at. And they say, I'm Islamic. Yeah, you Islamic, all right. You can, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad used to say something very profound. Can you fool a Muslim? Not nowadays. The light's on. Satan has no shame. Put a lot of emphasis on Allah. Allah did not say he's going to kill the entire creation. Why would he kill the entire creation? God would not destroy those who intended to be just a leader but know nothing about their nature. The question is, how can you leave your nature when Allah did not create your nature for you to leave? God is calling the good nature to come back to his nature in which he created you. Think about that. You have to come back to your nature in which God has created you. And you say it all the time. From Allah we came, from Allah we returned. Brothers and sisters, where is Allah? How do you have to turn to Allah? And your spirit is Allah. But your intellectual mind, your consciousness, evil thinking have left the nature in which God has created you. So now Allah wants to bring it back. So why would he destroy something he created? But he destroys hatred from one another. Y'all hate one another. He will destroy your nasty ways that we have with each other. Allah will destroy the hypocrite that is amongst us. Oh, brothers and sisters, Allah will destroy your stupidity. So liars and hypocrites is amongst us. There's a lot of them living amongst us. God made for us the best that is in the human nature. We have the best. Our religion teaches us to be the best in our creation. The Quran is our design. It is designed for us to grasp this knowledge. It gives us history. The Quran gives us history, brothers and sisters. We will read about hypocrites. You will read about your history. You will read about the past, the present, and the future. It's in the Quran. You will read this. And if you read it with a good heart, you will understand history is reward of all research. Ahmad Muhammad taught us that in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, and 70s before he passed away. History is reward of all research. You're supposed to study history. Study what the prophets did. Study what the five companions have done. Study the people around there. But don't go back there. But now you got the present. But you don't understand the present. But the Quran said, study from the present to the future. It didn't say study going back. Learn from the cradle to your grave. Isn't that starting from the present? Or the grave you just come in? But that crib of the little child, the crib of your intellectual mind, is still a baby. You can't comprehend it. Something is wrong. So religion taught to us, and it teaches everyone, if you study revelation, when you study religion, that's what religion does, brothers and sisters. It doesn't make you. It don't control you. It compliments you. It's like a woman. She can't compliment a boy unless it's her baby. But a man, grown man, acting like a boy, want to play with toys and games and don't want to do nothing. And all they want to do is stay on the street. And apparently when they was on the street, they was a chump. But they so weak and spineless, they want to put their hand on a female. Well, she can't compliment that. She can only compliment a man, capital M-A-N. And when she compliments that, she can make it. So religion is the same way. That's just a metaphor to show you that that is religion. Religion don't make you. If you are no good and you come in our religion of Christianity, you're no good Christian. If you come in the religion of Judaism, you're a no-good Jew. If you come in the religion of Islam, you're a no-good Islamic man or woman. It happens to all of us. Religion don't make you. You have to believe in yourself. You got to stand up for yourself. So we read about these historic things. We read about history. We read about past and the present and the future, but the corrupted ones will associate with us, and if you're not careful, you would believe that righteous, they will show you what it will do for you. You will test it, comes your character. That's how people can see it. You have changed your character. Not for good, for bad. So your appetite will allow them to feed you the wrong food. You begin to fall the wrong way. Pitfall. Ah, you in hell. When it says that you will fall from eating, your appetite is your appetite. But God is not talking about the physical appetite. It's the appetite of your desire for sex. And you sex anybody. Your appetite is a desire for drugs. So you get high. I don't care if it's reefer. You high. I don't care if it's pills that's supposed to be for you because you got a bad cold. No, you took too many of them. So that's the appetite. But the appetite God is talking about, all that's physical. He's talking about the appetite of eating that apple. Did you really think that your father, Adam, ate a physical apple? The apple was to get your attention. It was a lie, sugar coated with the sweetness of an apple. So you had to chew it up, and then you let it go down in your system. So you got to let all these bad IUs listen to that food that's feeding your mind, brothers and sisters. And as it feeds your mind, your intellectual mind, your taqwa becomes filthy with bad food that you're eating. It's knowledge. That tree represents knowledge, not food. So you begin to fall because you're going the wrong way, right into the pitfall of hell. You become proud of being the leader. You become proud to rule. You become proud to dictate. You are proud to become an anti-sociable, proud to boast about it. Yes, this is a man that wants to be proud because he's fed all these lies. You have lost the big picture. In Revelation, Allah paints us a picture, brothers and sisters, for us. He paints this, Allah painting. It's not me painting. So how is Allah going to kill his creation? What is he killing, brothers and sisters? You ever thought about it? I don't think so. I don't think you're thinking about it. But what is it? What do this mean? They say, call and ask Mirage. Muslims are proud to dictate that is not in our holy book, the Holy Quran. Muslims are so proud to boast. If you read in the proud people that loves the Quran, and you have tried to learn the context that is not what God wants us for. To just get stuck on the context of what you read that's physical, this is not what God is trying to comprehend to us. When you read the type of food, of knowledge, that you believe that is what God wants from us, you say in the Quran, this is what God wants from us. It's right here. No, brother. You've got a misconstrued understanding. It says in the Holy Quran, take that of the best thereof. That's what he's saying. Do not eat from any apple tree. There are many trees. But you took the tree that is not of the best thereof. You can't sit in the classroom and let somebody feed your brain. Allah says in the Quran, take that which is of wisdom, of what Allah is really saying. But you sitting there and letting them feed you with pictures. And then you fall in love and think it's true, and you can't multiply. You cannot evolve. do not eat from that apple tree. There are many trees, but that one of the best thereof. All them trees, all from Anas, from Fatiha to Anas, has a lot of knowledge of God. Read from that tree. Bite into that apple. The human brain looks knowledge. You just do not accept. You should not accept any teaching to you that you can feel it in your nature. Something is wrong. I got to get out of here. It don't feel right to me. The animals, the birds, they look for clean places in the world to start a family. These are animals. These are birds. These are ants. They look for a clean place for their family. God speaks to our nature and say, take the best of their earth. Oh, you should get it. Allah says in the holy book, made of our guardian. Our guardian is what you think it is. And he makes it a picture for you, a metaphor for you. That's what the Quran do is allegory. But it's meant for you to what? Get the picture. It's a metaphor. Don't it says in the Quran what it is. It's a metaphor. Common person to see one thing, but the words is totally different than your understanding. It is simply difficult for you to understand a metaphor, but the Imam said you got to dig a little deeper because all the God is, you ain't going to get it. But it doesn't get your understanding. So when they want to translate it into the way God wants for you, the Quran is the basis of teaching. It makes it clear. You can't lose it when Allah makes it clear. One who wants to understand it, you got to want to understand it, and Allah will make it clear. God says, those whose heart is diseased, he can't protect you. Because the allegory in the picture is simply clear to understand. This is why we have so many behaviors in the Muslim world. Yep, they behave different because they accept the pictures, they accept the metaphor, they accept the organic words, but they can't dig a little deeper to realize that Muslims are proud and should not be to dictate. Nope, that ain't who we are. We're not supposed to boast. We are not those type of people. But for some reason, Satan then came in, and Satan is taking over. So if your heart is diseased, Allah can't help you. But he says, I will not help a people that will not change that which is bothering their soul. What is bothering your soul, brother? What is bothering your soul, sister? You're not listening. You're not listening to the simple things that's clear and get an understanding in the Holy Quran. Before I close out, I want to say something. I have a text came from a beautiful, lovely female. Now, I honestly tell you that I give my life for this female. But she misconstrued when she sent it to me and said, I have a habit of beating up the women, and most of you men beat up the women. But I have over 3 million people listen to me around the world. And I've never got a letter like that. Matter of fact, numerous of those, I can't count them on how I picked the woman up. And see, that's what happens when you listen to me. out of 8 years on the radio with continuity. And you can imagine, you can write volumes of all my speeches, that they say, I have a great love for the female. But let me tell you about what I've learned by your man worth me, Muhammad. And I have to say this because it's the right thing to say. By your man worth me, Muhammad, is that the woman was the first one here. And he's like that. When he says that, he don't explain it. Matter of fact, he always said to me, when a person says, show it to me in the Quran, he said, don't do their work for them. He said, that's why they don't have it. Because they only go in there to see if you are right. Now, if you read the Quran every day like you should, or every other day, or once a week, or how about on the month of Ramadan? He said, if Allah wanted them to see it, he would never ask you that. You would shake their recollection. Oh, yeah, I did read that. He said, don't help them. Because they don't mean you're no good, or she may not mean you're no good. So I don't feed into that. But I tell you, this one here is very close. And so he taught me that the woman came here first because Adam is Eve. And Eve is Adam. One soul. And when you learn that, that they are one soul, them together in their soul, separated in their masculine feminine ability. But when you say the woman's feminine, yes, because she carries that baby, but the man carries the seed, X chromosome, Y chromosome. So that's the male and the female. So you're talking about all the fun down to cleanse the world, they must come together. But she can't have no baby without him. She's the earth. She's the earth. So you have to plant the seed in the earth in triple darkness. And the only one in charge of that, when you plant that seed to grow those vegetables, you ain't in that earth. Allah's in that earth. And he sends his angels and all them various different things come out of the earth. The earth special. When we was growing up, the earth was where the devil lived. No, brothers and sisters, everything in life is in the earth. So they say, if you want to respect this female, cause why? The female submits to the earth. So heaven is at her feet. Now you kiss her feet. You praise her feet because heaven's at her feet. Don't she walk on the earth? Beneath her feet is the earth where we all have came from. But that earth was dead. Everything in life was dead. The stars, the moon, the sun, the water, the rivers, the flowers, the animals, the insects, they all birds, they was dead. Even the other two creatures. Allah created one out of light and one out of smokeless fire. So the jinn out of smokeless fire, the angels out of light, but they was dead. And Allah created the whole world. We don't know how many years it took them to do it. We don't know when they all came, but they was here from we were. So they was dead, brought to life. But our earth was dead, can't move. But that spirit, when Allah breathed into Adam, his spirit, he then told them, don't bow down to that dirt and mud. Wait till I breathe into his nostril, my spirit. So we are spirit. If that spirit leaves you, your earth cannot move. You can't get out of the bed. You can't get on a plane or a car or a train. You can't go nowhere without the spirit. The spirit is who you are, sister. The spirit is I. But Allah made them one, male and female. So he says, the man have to work to plant the seed. You know how a farmer got to cultivate the land? But he got to plant the seed. And that seed is in that female. And it have to grow. Allah allows it to grow. Should I give it a hand? the angels say, should I give it legs? Should I give them hands? Should I give them eyes? Should I give them a mouth? They have to ask for those things. And it's being molded and shaped in the womb. So Allah is teaching you in the classroom. You come out of there very highly intelligent and purified. You're not of this world until you come here. But what makes the difference? What makes the difference from the man and the woman? One is a female that carries the seed, and the one that gives the seed is the masculine. But the masculine is over top of the leadership of the world. Why? Because it's a 24 hours in seconds position. So Allah says, if you don't understand that, my sister, you should understand that you have a menstrual. You're going through a purify. All them live sperms are dead in you. You have to flush it out of you. So you don't have time to leave. Then don't let you get pregnant, because now you got aches and pains and gas and everything else. So he ain't created you to lead. But why is the man the leader? His masculine ability. Now I know you can switch and play like you're a man, but you can't be a man 24/7. I don't care who you are. Two women cannot make babies, and two men cannot make babies. Allah didn't split us up. We split ourselves up. We're one. Now that you understand that we are one, sister, brother, so let's ask, what do we have in common with you? Well, one, we know we got the same spirit. But Allah gave us a soul. That's why he said, I won't help you because I gave you your soul to talk to you. You ignore it. So I will not change what's bothering you until you talk to your soul. Allah don't help you. You got to help yourself, and then he will help. Prophet Muhammad said in Solomon didn't feel right turning to Jerusalem. So Allah tested. And then he didn't feel right. Allah knew his feelings. And then told him, turn to the sacred mosque. Turn to the Kaaba. This is how your Lord works. Read the Quran. So Allah is saying, what about the souls? He got it. What about the deen and fitri? Both of them have it. And what about the taqwa? What about the gifts that God gave us both? It's no spirit is not he or she. The soul is not he or she. The deen of the fitri is not he or she. You can't split them up. So therefore, everything that makes you grow in this world, you have the ability to the point you must stand on your own two feet, because salaka is your responsibility. Zakat is your responsibility. Yes, you're going to be judged just like the man. All your good, if your bad outweigh your good, you go into hellfire just like the man. Get it straight. It's no belittling. It's to know who you are. And you all don't know who you are. That's why you hide behind the door. You only come out and speak. You have a right, if it ain't Juma, you have a right to say subhanAllah. Now, I had a very intelligent man told me, Murad, you said that the woman can lead. I said, okay, since you didn't comprehend, let me say what I'm saying to you. It says in the Quran, in the absence of the husband, the woman's in charge. Meaning what? She is now the man. Well, she got baby. Who's going to lead the prayer? The woman. Whoa, isn't that something? So y'all hooked on the network, and you go on the network and don't understand, you can pray right in your house. Well, I don't have three. Yeah, get caught on. The Quran said, do not eat that swine. Don't touch that swine. It's a sin to touch that swine. But get caught in the woods. Get caught where you can't eat and you're dying. And you see a pig, you can eat it. You can't pig off it. But Allah gives you permission to eat it. It's simple common sense. And they came here and got us in space
got us all messed up that we can't come together to be wealthy. Wealthy, brothers and sisters. I ain't saying rich. Wealthy. You say it ain't 10 million? It's much more. But let's count the 10 million. How much money do we need on the East Coast? We need 100 million, right? Okay, brothers and sisters, send me $100. There it is. Everybody got $100. Save up a dollar a day. You'll get to it. Send me $100. So we got 100 million. We got 100 million. Can you believe that? 100 million. Well, next week, we're going to send you another $100. What? That's for the West Coast. Oh, we got $200 million. Okay, we're going to do the same thing next month. Yeah, but y'all are stuck on stupid. Y'all are going to get caught up with Satan. Satan got you all separate. You want to stop me from speaking to my sisters out there? Isn't it amazing? I could ask my technology. I said, if you took a survey, how many brothers and sisters in Ellis Island that know you calls you? Do you want to give me a number? And tell me how many people that come. So, well, wait a minute. Your 80% of your followers ain't got nothing to do with Ellis Island. But this religion is for all humanity. I thank you for listening. And I enjoy doing what I do. And I'm telling you now, brothers and sisters, if your heart is diseased, I can't help you. You got to help yourself, Allah says. He's not going to change the condition of a people until they change what's bothering their soul. This is why we have so much behavior in the Muslim world. And the behavior is not good. The behavior is not good. But I'm not here trying to dictate to anybody or try to convert you. I want to thank another sister that said, Brother Mirad, all the years I knew you, you never forced me to come to Ellis Island. But why did you come? Your character sound like my mother. I loved that woman. I treated her with kindness, gave her everything she wanted, things she never thought she would have. Traveled all over and out the country with me. And one day she said, I'll sit this one out. You don't want to go to Vegas? No, I'll sit this one out. I knew it was time for her not to fly anymore. But she enjoyed herself all the way to her grave. My sister and I was making, I think it was Zul Asr. Every time we went down in those four rock eyes, she said, Allahu Akbar. I kept hearing that third voice. And I know it was just my sister and I was doing right there in her bedroom. And I said, Mama, he was praying with us? She said, boy, you know, that's her favorite word. Boy, you think I didn't want to pray to Allah while y'all was praying? Oh, dude, I love that woman. I love my mother. And I learned to love my mother. She used to beat me. My God, she used to beat me. But I get right back on her. She beat me again. I get right back. Beat me again. I get right back on her. And you sisters are told if a man respects his mother, he will respect you. Yeah. That came to fruition with me. It's not a woman that didn't come in my life. Whether she was my wife or she was another woman, I treat her like she was my mama. And Allah rewards you. Because anything good and you go after it, it's written that it should be done. But even if you can't bring it to fruition, I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, you get rewarded anyway. So I got my gates open. You got something to say, I'm getting ready to give a call to a brother, doctor. Everybody called me, went on Fitch's radio, and my God, did he shock everybody. And they said, he's just like you, Mara. I said, what do you mean? He wants to get away from being an imam over three masjids. He wants to give back what God gave him. I said, well, what did he say? He said he was a diabetic. And he went back to study and lost 50 pounds
And now he wants to now teach it. I said, Allahu Akbar, I tell him he got a show on my air. That's what I'm looking for. I just don't give it away to anybody. If you want it and you try it, I will teach you. So I'm saying to you, thank you for tuning in. And if I said anything that hurt anyone out there, I apologize from the bottom of my heart. If I said anything that was incorrect, I make mistakes. We say, subhanAllah. Well, I believe you got the point. If I say anything to allow you to stand in your spirit, stand up in your soul, stand up in your demon, or fitch in the nature in which you was created, stand up in your belief in God, stand up in your faith in God. But it don't mean anything if you don't have love. You don't reach Allah. You must have love. Stand up in your taqwa. Don't give me that credit. That credit, all those credits you give to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorify his name. I greet you from our father Adam, our biological father, from our father of the intellectual mind and all nationality, Ibrahim. I greet you from my brother, Jesus Christ. Christ means what? Christ means Muslim. He came to do the work of Allah. I greet you from Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah. We salute him with the excellent salute because when we salute him, peace and blessings be upon him, it's because he represents all the ingredients of every prophet that we don't mention. He's the seal. No more coming. So Allah, we ask him to bless his sinners and his companions. Surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. I was your host tonight, Quran Muhammad. Tomorrow, Ilawa Bey will return from 7. And he waved his way because Salima Muhammad and her sister, Dr. Nadira Muhammad, they do a show every Saturday at 11 o'clock, and they had an outstanding imam. An outstanding imam who told a story that he put it on the air that he was with his grandma. It was a knock on the door. He went to the screen, and you could see out, but you couldn't see it. And this man was talking to him. Depending on what he was saying, at 8 years old, and he had another young man with him. Find his bike. He didn't have one, so he had to go to work. He found that bike right all over looking for this man. And he realized his name was Elijah Poole. And the young man that was with him was Lawrence Dean Muhammad. You can't make this stuff up. And then he came to Al-Islam because the Booker T. Washington, they great-grandson, all of them come in Christianity. They wanted him to be a priest. But he started following the Imam Elijah Muhammad. And then when he left, he lost a best friend. He went into seclusion. This man got so many degrees, I believe. He said if he had 20 PhDs, he will still go to school for the 21st. He's not going to stop. He studies from the cradle to the grave. And then he talked about how he became a lieutenant under the Imam Muhammad and asked him to make him lieutenant. And he passed away. He said, one after me will give you your true name and religion. Isn't that something? And he didn't know Wallace. But he heard Wallace and he came and said, whoa, let me go see him. A man made him an imam. And now he's an imam all over the country, wherever the different countries he's going right now. He sits on the Navy base and he teaches Friday. They love him. He learned the Arabic very distinctly. He don't know Arabic, but he knows enough to have a conversation. And working on his double PhD. Yeah, his whole family is academic. So this is a man that we put on Monday. So we lie on wave his 2 hours to him for Thursday. And inshallah, you will get the opportunity to see a man that loved the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, a man that loved Imam Wallace Muhammad. And yes, we all love Mr. Farrakhan. We thank him for his outstanding achievement and what he has done with our children. What he's done with our youth and doctors, lawyers, engineers, and men and women as entrepreneurs. How not associate with people like that? But Satan got us separate. Not me. I got my Jewish brothers and sisters. I got my Christian brothers and sisters. I got my Hindus and Buddhists. I got them. And I have Minnesota and Farrakhan. We want. For what? To build schools and build, able to pay teachers six figures and create our own land and our own organic, our own halal. We halal, we don't even know what that chicken had before. Was it sick before they sent it? We don't know any of that. We just sit and wait for people to do for us what we can do for yourself. If we came together in 1 week, you will see a miracle. If we came together in 1 week, you would stop this poverty. We waiting for someone to give us $1,200. When we can make $1 billion, we can gross $1 billion in 1 year. Well, is that enough? We'll give you $1,200. How about we send you $5? Oh, brothers and sisters, let me tell you about wealthy people. You got to get up. See, they're not going to do what God said don't do. If you don't get up and go down Skid Row, you down there on your own. Can't get that to Allah. But order for you to rise, you got to trust that I have gave you 5 senses to balance every degree you must have, because you got PhDs on Skid Row, so it ain't got nothing to do with your education. It has something to do with you have left your demon out of your nature in which you was created. We say, oh, Allah, bless those who passed away, separate their faults from the goodness, thou separate the east from the west, and grant them gender. Oh, Allah, we say those are sick. Lift the burden from them. We got Saladin sick. We got Andrea. People are sick. We got people in the hospital that we are praying, Lord, to allow them to get well. We got my beautiful sister and been with me for over 30 years, Jackie Smith, who loves her daughter, and we ask Allah to divert from her being sick, and all of you all, that Allah knows that I mean all of you, to lift that burden. And those who have given, those who want to give, we ask Allah to give you a barakat so you can make it to the hereafter. I shall return at 5 o'clock on Saturday from 5 o'clock, and we usually do an hour and a half. If you want to ask me any questions, we will send it to you and ask you all to tune in, and you can question me. I don't program anyone. You can ask me anything you want, from soup to nuts, from the heaven, from the skies, and everything between them, anything you want to talk about. I say, Bismillah, and hopefully I can give you an answer. And then next Friday, Saturday morning, Dr. Nabira and Kalima Muhammad will be on. And we hope we get Bilal. You don't call him Bilal out. He's a great soldier, very highly intelligent. And I believe he will probably be on, another military man. It's good to see our Muslim brothers over thousands. Thousands of troops. Captain Johns, his son is over 100,000. Don't tell me that Allah don't see us. Ancestors will come back and have the Holy Ghost, that we now speak their language, and we now know who God really is. And Allah only means to die. And there's no difference in my God and your God and Christianity and Judaism or whatever religion you have. We have the same God, one God. May Allah be peace with you, peace and love. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for listening.